and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The air is thick with smoke and flames are being whipped by strong winds as a wildfire rips through the Pacific Palisades neighborhood in Los Angeles. And thousands of residents are told to evacuate. LA Fire Chief Kristen Crowley.
The population threatened is approximately 25,748. Households threatened is approximately 10,367.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
We now have at least a dozen homes that I've witnessed myself firsthand destroyed by this fire. You can imagine the panic from residents here as they escaped clogging roads, making it incredibly difficult for fire crews to gain access. First responders are here. They're trying to gain the upper hand on this fire, if that is at all possible right now, before the wind picks up later on this evening.
The National Weather Service says this could be the strongest Santa Ana windstorm in more than a decade across L.A. and Ventura counties. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A case of the mumps has been confirmed in Clark County. Monday afternoon, the Clark County Health Department said that they were notified about the case of the contagious disease. Mumps is caused by the mumps virus and can easily spread from person to person. It causes the glands in and around your mouth that produce saliva to swell. The swelling can lead to painful and puffy cheeks and swelling in the jaw and under the ears. The health department says that in severe cases, there can be swelling in testicles, ovaries, pancreas, brain, and your spinal cord. Hearing loss is possible as well. The disease can spread 2 days before symptoms start and up to 5 days after. Some people may not show symptoms at all, but can still spread the disease. And it spreads through direct contact of droplets in the air. So by talking, coughing, sneezing, or sharing items with their saliva. Symptoms usually start with a fever, headaches, muscle aches, tiredness, and loss of appetite. A few days after is when the swelling might begin. Health experts say the best way to prevent mumps is to receive the MMR vaccine before exposure happens. And the Marshfield Clinic has completed its merger with the largest rural health system in the U.S., Sanford Health. However, the Marshfield Clinic brand will stay at Wisconsin locations, but Sanford Health will serve as a sister clinic. The two systems are expanding their care and making it affordable for their patients. In all, the two will cover 7 states with 56,000 employees, 46 hospitals, and 4,500 providers to cover their now 425,000 members. And a fisherman who was on a UTV fell through the ice on Monday in Marquette County. First responders tried to revive the person, but they were pronounced dead. And the person's identity is being withheld pending notification of the family. This happened on Lawrence Lake in Westfield Township at about 10 a.m. The sheriff said the incident remains under investigation. I'm Brittany Merlot for WIRI and WFHR News.
The Badgers win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers with a Big Ten conference win at Rutgers, 75-63. John Blackwell leading with 21 points. Head coach Greg Gard after the game.
We know we're always in for a battle when we come here. Life on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. So when you can get road wins and lead wire to wire like we did, a really good team win and obviously a lot of contributions from across the board.
NBA, the Bucks snapped a 2-game losing streak with a 128-104 decision over the Raptors in Toronto. Chris Middleton sitting out with ankle tendonitis. NFL, Matt LaFleur says that Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Bears. Watson will spend the next year recovering.
I know he'll attack it the right way. He'll handle the adversity. It'll just be a bump in the road for him, and I think he'll come back better. That's just how he is built. That's how he's wired. There'll be good. It's just going to be down the road.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A quiet but cold night tonight under partly cloudy skies, lows around 4 above. On Wednesday, a mix of clouds and some sun, a few flurries possible in the afternoon with highs near 17, and then a bit warmer on Thursday with mostly sunny skies, a high near 24. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
Matt and Air on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt and Air on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Kelvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
unbridled
enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project return to the show after a vacation break. We'll catch up with them. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Craig is listening on the stream. He says, hey, Pete, you're already pretty good at it, but what if you had a Tuesday teaser where you can showcase something cool in the entertainment world? Tuesdays are always a good time to look forward to what's coming. That's a good one. Can we take a memo?
I think that's pretty good.
All right. Craig's got good ideas. Craig's kind of a renaissance show businessman. He also says you could do two of them just because. You see what he did there? That's what I like about Craig.
Two Tuesday. I get it.
Thank you, Craig. We will take that into consideration. Appreciate the thought. Carla, Aunt Carla checking in. She says, hello, Pete and Conrad. I was fortunate enough to hear Craig T. Nelson sing the national anthem, but when he hit the note of the Brave and the jets flew over, it was out of Lambo. His new movie is Green and Gold, playing in theaters January 31st. I got my tickets for it at the AMC Wisconsin Dells. It said wide release on that movie. We'll have to look into that. I'm not sure if it's just playing in Wisconsin or everywhere. From the 608, Steady Eddie checking in says, Pete, for me, it's been a terrific, terrible Tuesday. A beautiful January Tuesday in Madison, Wisconsin. Seasonally cold, but there's no snow on the ground, and the days are getting longer, and I saw some wonderful cloud formations at sunset. Soon I'll be eating some brats as I listen to Nightlight. Steady Eddie, you could do a lot worse. That sounds like a lovely evening, actually. He says, a terrific, terrible Tuesday. He says, I think the Bucks, despite their 18-16 record, will make a big buck charge and win the NBA championship this year. Steady Eddie. Let's revisit that. I think most people would say Packers, but Steady Eddie, who knows? Maybe he's got his
finger
on the
pulse. I respect the
fandom. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Tim Dennis is our guest. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, and he is joining us tonight to talk about ghosts and aliens and the paranormal. And I've got a couple questions here I'm excited to ask him. But Tom in Jackson, he's in the 414, says, hi, Pete, please ask your guest about the tiny town of Dundee in Fond du Lac County. That is supposed to be the hotspot of UFO activity in Wisconsin. Tim, what do you think about that?
About Dundee?
Dundee in Fond du Lac County. Have you heard of that?
I have. I've never been through, but I have heard of it. There's a lot of places I've heard of that I want to get to that I haven't. And, you know, as far as it's too bad we're not on the line with him. I'd love to ask if he'd been through it and if he'd ever seen anything there and what exactly he's seen. Because here's the deal. Depending on where you're looking, where you are in the night sky and what there is that's going over at the time, it depends on what you're looking for and what you're looking at. Now, you know, I mean, are you looking at a satellite going over? You know, one of the things that really gets me about what we're looking at is now, you know, Elon Musk has launched Starlink satellite systems. And a lot of people have seen these Starlink satellite systems in the sky and went, there's a UFO. And right. A lot of times, and this has even been debunked on Travel Channel, these Starlink satellite systems are not UFOs, but they're being mistaken for UFOs. And I'm not taking the attention off of Dundee here. But I have heard of Dundee. I'd like to get to Dundee to see if I can see something. I've only twice seen something in my life that I think could be mistaken for or could be potentially a UFO. One was in northern Minnesota. The other was out actually in Arizona. But I couldn't explain it, and I tried to cross-reference it with MUFON, and, yeah. and it was unexplainable. So
let's – all right. So before I ask you about Jimmy Carter, Tom actually took your advice and called in. So he is with us on the phone right now, and
oh, good.
You can speak to him directly. Good. Tom, how are you?
Hi. Okay. The reason I know about this is I used to listen to NPR in the morning out of Milwaukee, Joy Cardine, and she used to have a show about every 6 months that dealt with this subject. And there's a guest that was really up on, especially Wisconsin, sightings in Wisconsin, and he was saying that Dundee is supposed to by far have the most. And there's a lake there called Long Lake along Highway 67. And I guess especially in the north end of Long Lake, there's supposed to be like Indian burial grounds. Mm. And there's like a water tower up there, and it's really rough terrain. And I've driven through there on my motorcycle, and I had some relatives on Dad's mother's side that had a little cottage along Long Lake. And then my grandmother was actually born in a farm about a half mile west of there. And now that was given to the Catholic Church. But I've never seen it myself, but there's a an old bar that's now closed, but they had like shirts and sweaters that had like different UFO stuff on it, really cute. I actually got a couple of them, and I haven't used them yet. But that's what the guest on the NPR talk show said, that Dundee is the spot in Wisconsin. It's supposed to have the most sightings. It's and going back to Indian days, too, I guess.
Okay.
That's up near Barron, isn't it?
No, it's in Finley County, which is about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee or so.
Yeah, right on Lake, southern part of Lake Winnebago, Tim. Tom, thank you so much for the call, buddy. Appreciate you contributing to the show. Have
long
a great lake. Night.
Yeah, long
sorry,
lake.
My geography's off a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Now, I've worked in Whitehall, Wisconsin, and I worked in mainly western Wisconsin when I was doing radio a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But I've never been that far east, so that's okay. But there is. I'll give you this fact about Wisconsin. It is ranking 23rd as far as UFO sightings in the United States. So it does get a lot of data reported to it by the National UFO Reporting Center. So you do get quite a few sightings all over Wisconsin. And Barron actually in 1934 was one of them.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with that one. But right. I'm familiar with Dundee. I'm not familiar with where it's located.
That's okay. Look, we don't expect you to know everything, Tim. That's fine. But thank you for the call, Tom. And that's interesting. I'll add that to the list of it's fun. We do talk about this stuff periodically on the show, and it's good to have a little catalog going. Tim, you mentioned Jimmy Carter had a UFO sighting in 1969. I vaguely remember hearing something about that, but I have no idea what it was. Can you inform us about that? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, it happened in Georgia at a Lions Club meeting. And this was way before he was ever president. What had happened was he was coming out of that Lions Club meeting with 20 people. So it's not like this was just a singular sighting that couldn't be verified by anybody. He had been scheduled to give a speech there at that Lions Club meeting in Leary, Georgia, when some of the other guests directed his attention to this object that was up there in the sky. So what happens is they're all looking up at it, and they all see it change color a few times before it disappears into the distance. Now, this is what Jimmy Carter was quoted as saying in 1973. He said there were about 20 of us standing outside of a little restaurant, I believe. It was a high school lunchroom, and a kind of a green light appeared in the western sky. This was right after sundown. It got brighter and brighter, and then it eventually disappeared. It didn't have any solid substance to it. It was just a very peculiar looking light. None of us could understand what it was. Now, what President Carter did is he submitted a report to the International UFO Bureau and detailed the sighting. And a few years later, when he was governor of Georgia, he even promised to make, and stop me if you've heard this before, make every piece of information the country has about UFO sightings available to the public and scientists when he became president. That sound familiar, Pete?
Yeah. So what happened? You know, I will say that Carter seeing this and or whatever, just saying he saw this mystery light, whatever, and then never having another issue with aliens or UFOs or whatever, kind of lends a lot of credibility to it. You know, it's not like he's a crackpot or anything. He was the president and a very sane guy. And I've seen something I couldn't explain. I saw the lights over Lake Michigan in 1994. It's just, sure. You don't know what's going on.
Well, here's the part of it that makes me wonder, you know, and I talked about this as we were recording for tomorrow's show. I was talking about this with my co-host, Mally Fox. I said, listen, it's not the fact that he's seen something. It's what happens to presidents after they're in office,
yeah,
where they don't want to talk about it. And the only exception seems to be President Trump. He's the one who wants to go back in and actually crack these files open.
Why didn't he do that the first time, though?
Well, here's the thing. I think because he got stopped cold by the military. I really do think they said, whoa, 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 slowly roll. We're not going to do that, sir. We have other things to focus on. Okay. And it seems to be anybody who gets within the machine who wants to open these files, who says, you know, we kind of want to get down to the bottom of this. It's either because, you know, they don't have things together and they really don't have the organization to do it, or they haven't kept accurate records, or, and again, I'm making sense here. I know I'm making too much sense for most people. Or the other fact is that there is something there. And let's just face it, we're not ready to handle stuff. And I'll give you the example of why we're not, Pete, and I'll make it very short. It's simply this. With the drones in New Jersey and on the East Coast, people were saying this simple statement. The government isn't ready to take care of this. I will. And they went out there with shotguns and started shooting at drones. And they didn't know who they belonged to. They shot at drones, Pete.
Well, with shotguns. There's a mental health issue in this country, too. Let's be honest.
And here's the thing. If you shoot at a drone, Pete, it's dangerous to you. First of all, it's dangerous to you. You crack that battery, you're going to die. Second of all, you'll start your house, your forest, everything on fire.
Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
No. It's just that. It's just that people don't think before they act. So if we're going to tell them that there's aliens out there and, hey, we have a pact with them, what are they going to go do to aliens if they're shooting simple drones?
No kidding. And what are they going to hit instead of the drone? That's a little unnerving. So we have to do another very short break. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Tim?
Absolutely.
All right. You have this. You sent another thing about mystery fog, and I've read a little bit about that. So I want to ask you about mystery fog, and then like maybe you could share your favorite tall tale or urban legend with us when we come back before we let you go. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Tim Dennis is here. He's the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, very popular podcast, and he's going to be with us for a couple more minutes on the other side of this very short break. So great to have you with us on what, Taco Tuesday, Conrad?
Tuesday,
according to Craig. Okay, we'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back. There is still time to get in on our question of the night, which is, who will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship? So far, I would say the Bucks are leading the pack. The Packers is probably a tie.
Or the women's UW Badger hockey team.
Hockey team, yeah. We'll have to look into that. Can you Google their record while we're talking to Tim here?
Actually, you know what? I will say, I got a new one.
Yeah.
Marquette is looking really good this year.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I forgot about Marquette. Yeah.
Maybe they can do it.
They're top 10, right?
I believe they are, yeah.
Okay. Love to be top 10. Tim Dennis is with us. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast. He's agreed to stick around for a few extra minutes here. Tim, all right, so we talked about Jimmy Carter. You said something about a potential talking point might be mystery fog. There's something so creepy about fog. I hate driving in it. But tell us a little bit about that. Has there been some investigation recently?
Yeah, you know something, Pete, there's a fog that's actually going over multiple states. It's creepy enough, like you said, fog and anything in fog. In fact, fog is so creepy they've made multiple movies about it. Yeah. And what could be in fog, including M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. I know that's not his name.
We just call him M. Night, yeah.
M. Night, exactly. Yeah. He's made a movie about it as well. Well, residents along multiple states have been reporting these strange clouds of fog, like with a chemical-like smell. Huh. And I wish I could report it as anything other than just the most icky smell that you've ever smelled in your life, right? But it's been hanging in the air over the last few days. And it's been in, when I say multiple states here, Pete, I'm talking Texas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Florida, and Minnesota. We're not talking just a few states here. We're talking a lot of states, right? And this fog has some unusual properties to it as it's hanging above all these states. Now, the unusual properties are this. It's triggered some respiratory problems and symptoms, and it's accompanied by a burning chemical-like smell that leaves people feeling nauseous.
Hmm.
Now, tell me where you might have heard this before from people who are into conspiracy theories.
The only thing I can think of is like a pesticide or something.
Okay, pesticide is good, but a lot of people who kind of run the streets with a crazy look in their eye will yell chemtrails at you, right?
Oh, right, right.
I mean, that's what I think of when I read the story and look at this story. Now, there's a woman who encountered this fog while filling her car with gas in Florida, who said that within an hour, she kept sneezing over and over and over again for about 3 hours, and her eyes got real puffy. That doesn't sound right, right? Seems like a chemical burn for all intents and purposes.
For those people listening, Tim, tell and myself included, I know the bare minimum of what is a chemtrail exactly?
A chemtrail supposedly is it's a trail from the back of an airplane. So, you know, when you look and see a vapor trail out of an airplane, that happens. I mean, it's a normal exhaust out of an airplane. A lot of people mistake that for, like, say, an airplane up in the sky that may strafe a chemtrail or a chemical trail that may be seeding us with some sort of chemicals. Okay. So there's a popular theory or conspiracy theory that the government may be trying to seed us or a particular area with some sort of experimental toxin or a chemical to see if we react to it. So they could be conducting any type of experiment on us. Now, there's only, I think, one experiment in history. It was a project known as Operation Sea Spray in 1950, which saw large amounts of bacteria being intentionally sprayed over San Francisco, which was actually proven. Otherwise, there really isn't anything on record saying that the government has done this on a regular basis, okay?
Yeah.
But that one time got people talking.
It's such an easy thing to say, though, to the government. You know, the government is millions of people, basically. I mean, how does that... I just feel like we'd know more about, and that's not like Roswell. That's just, I feel like that would get out.
Yes, it would. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a good way to kind of find this stuff out. There's a guy by the name of John Greenwald Jr. who runs a site called theblackvault.com. And John has managed to gather 3.4 million documents of Freedom of Information Act documents.
Oh.
And he is a bulldog. If you ever get a little bit of time, everything from UFO documents and alien documents to regular Freedom of Information Act documents about what's going on in your government.
Okay.
And you want to talk about a guest you should get on the program. That's a guy.
Yeah. And theblackvault.com. Okay.
Theblackvault.com. And he's on X as well. And John manages to dig every single Freedom of Information Act document that you can find out there. And he's found documents like this online where there have been plans where they've said, you know what, you know what would be an idea? Let's test something on the populace, an old CIA document from the 50s or 60s. But it would get shelved. And there's things in there about remote viewing programs from the CIA and things like that he's dug up.
Do any of these chemicals give you better abs, Tim?
I wish. No, otherwise I'd get rid of this big tire I have in the middle, but no.
Hey, listen, this has been a lot of fun, buddy. Thanks for sticking with us so long, and thanks for filling in short notice for your Uncle Bob, who I don't know if I believe his story, but no, I'm kidding. It was great to meet you, and yeah, thanks a lot. We'll have to do this again. I have a lot more questions for you, but hopefully we can cover those another time.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great night. And check out the Darkness Radio podcast with your host, Tim Dennis, who has some really interesting guests and talks about a lot of really cool topics. So, Conrad, what do you think about that chemtrail thing? I have read about that in the news. That's been like in mainstream papers. That's not like just like conspiracy theory.
Media. I didn't even know about it, to be honest.
See, that is why you're making a mistake. You have got to wake up, pal. No. I mean, I heard when I was a kid that all these planes and, you know, the exhaust that comes out of them is bad. But, you know, what are we going to do? We've been flying airplanes for
quite some time.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, it's interesting to talk about. Thank you to Tim Dennis. When we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, we are going to be joined by Mike Kauth. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. We will talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene and where you can see Comedy Sports, because I know they do leave Milwaukee from time to time and travel around the state. So we'll have a fun talk with Mike. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Americans won't have to worry about unpaid medical bills damaging their credit reports and scores for much longer. The Biden administration is finalizing a rule today that will end the inclusion of medical debt on credit reports and ban lenders from using certain medical information in loan decisions. The rule will remove an estimated $49 billion in medical bills from the credit reports of about 15 million people. The Bureau's director said people who get sick shouldn't have their financial future appended. The measure, which was proposed last June, takes effect 60 days after it is published in the Federal Register. Those with medical debt on their credit reports could receive a 20-point boost in their credit score. This is also expected to lead to the approval of about 22,000 additional mortgages every year. And advocates are hoping that the new legislature addresses gun safety in Wisconsin, especially after the Abundant Life shooting. While Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has called for a holistic approach, gun violence prevention advocates say prevention starts with stronger gun laws. Lindsay Nichols with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence says the state could require universal background checks for gun purchases or raise the age for gun possession.
We know that some of these shooters are young people themselves. And there are plenty of policies, for example, to keep guns out of the hands of youth. These are laws that some states have passed and some haven't. So we need action from our lawmakers to prevent and protect our kids.
Many states have red flag laws where families, victims, or authorities can go to court for what's essentially like an emergency restraining order, where a judge can order someone to temporarily give up their firearms. A red flag law was invoked in California after authorities found a man who said he had been communicating with the Abundant Life shooter and planning tandem attacks. Wisconsin also doesn't have any laws that require guns to be stored in a certain way. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A quiet but cold night tonight under partly cloudy skies, lows around 4 above. On Wednesday, a mix of clouds and some sun, a few flurries possible in the afternoon with highs near 17, and then a bit warmer on Thursday with mostly sunny skies, a high near 24. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
a great hour number two song. It's kind of very chill. I like that tune. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what will be the next Wisconsin team that wins a championship? We've had some great Bucks and Packers for the most part, but you did some digging.
Yeah.
The Badgers women's hockey team?
Yeah, their record is 21-1.
That's pretty good.
They lost once. That's crazy.
But have they won a championship recently?
I'm not sure, actually. Okay. But... well, looks good this year.
Yeah, it sure does. Bridget from the 818 says, Bucks basketball. Okay. Yeah, they're probably the most recently removed from having a championship ring. And then from the 715, Kate says, Badgers hockey. All right. Maybe she means women's hockey.
Yeah. I don't know. The boys aren't doing that great.
She probably means women's hockey. Clarify, Kate, if you would. But thank you for your text, everybody. All right, we have to get going here because I just realized my friend Mike Kauth is about to join us, and time is ticking, and I want to talk some Milwaukee comedy, and Mike is always fun to do that with. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Pete. Doing real good. How are you?
Good. I don't usually pay attention to this kind of thing, but that beard is looking phenomenal. Yeah, you had it last time, but that's like full blown. That's like perfect.
We're getting there. You know, part of it is the holiday season. There's a Comedy Sports. We do a naughty and nice show, and I always play Santa Claus. So,
oh, fantastic! That makes sense.
A little short for Santa, but
just paint it white. No one will ever know the difference. Those kids don't know anything.
It's getting there on its own, my friend.
did you have good holidays?
Yeah. Got to see my sister's family. They live right over the border in Illinois.
Okay.
That was really fun. We had two sold-out shows at Comedy Sports for New Year's. So that's always a good place to ring in the new year. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yourself?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. We had a lot of same stuff. We went to see a show here in Green Bay, Frank Hermans, who does a great job just down the street here at the Meyer. And great holidays. No complaints. But what a great, you know, when I was a stand-up mic, and I've talked about this recently leading up to the new year, when I would be on a New Year's show doing comedy, I hated it because, you know, I'm either on the road or somewhere where we do the countdown on stage and it's me and a comic sometimes I barely know. And the new year hits and like I give that guy a fist bump and everybody in the crowd is hugging and kissing. And it's like a festive night. But what's it like at Comedy Sports when you guys do that? How do you make it festive and how do you ring in the new year at Comedy Sports?
Yeah, well, we offer two different shows. The first starts at 8 o'clock and has like a fake countdown. So that way families can come out.
Oh, nice.
They want to go home early. You can get home early. The 10:30 show ends right at midnight. And kind of like you're saying, everyone goes wild. They cheer.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about improv is you're up there with a few different people. And
yeah,
a lot of times those are your friends that you've played with and, you know,
right,
performed with. So I'd probably be with them anyway. So it's a nice way to ring in the new year. And we do like a buffet, free champagne. So we go all out.
Oh, man.
New Year's.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What the great thing, too, is like what you just said with families. Comedy Sports, and I forget this from time to time, is totally clean, right? Like it's family-friendly for the most part.
That's correct. Yeah. It's all ages. We even have like the bag foul, the out-of-bounds foul. So if someone says something that's a little too lewd, crude, or off-color, they, you know, that goes for audience members, too. They have to put the bag on their head.
Would Comedy Sports have been as successful as it's been? You have a decades long now tradition. Would it have been as successful were it not for that rule? Like if you allowed swearing or like they do at Second City, if you could go blue, how would that have affected Comedy Sports, do you think?
That's a great question. I think we probably would still be around. It would still be successful. But it probably would have been limited the range of audiences we could have pulled in.
Right.
This past summer, we just celebrated our 40th year in business, which is
that's
insane.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. And it probably is a lot because of being able to bring in families, and then, you know, generations kind of grow with us over the time too. So if you enjoy comedy sports as a kid, sometimes, you know, once you hit your 20s, 30s, you kind of come back like, eh, maybe,
yeah,
maybe I'll check this thing out again.
You're a staple now. That's pretty cool. Yeah. How did you find comedy sports, Mike? You personally, what was your journey to get there? Now you're a head coach, which is really cool. But how did you get started there?
I got started there. I had seen a show when I was a freshman in high school, I believe, maybe eighth grade, doesn't really matter. But some family friends decided, let's go check out a show. They invited me along and I went. I liked it. And then a couple years later, I was, a senior in high school. And I liked performing. And I had just done a media studies class where I got to.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball.
High post, Williams, fade away, 15th quarter is through. Douglas down to one. Douglas flips it up at the free throw line, and it's good. On a driving shot there by Hallie Douglas.
Wisconsin women's basketball is brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show. Here's the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball, John Arias.
The Wisconsin Badgers are on the road tonight, seeking their first Big Ten win away from Madison. After a loss at Oregon, 10-5 Wisconsin continues on in the Pacific Northwest with a Tuesday night tango with 11-4 Washington, their first meeting with the Huskies in over 11 years. From Alaska Airlines Arena, it's Wisconsin versus Washington. It's time for Badger basketball. And coming up on tonight's pregame show, we'll get a scout of the Huskies with assistant coach Fro Gerald. We'll look inside the Badger numbers and the Badger notebook. A quick spin around the Big Ten. One other game going on. We'll get you up to date with number one UCLA in action. But up next, we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Wisconsin women's basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are, in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Wisconsin is getting set to face the Washington Huskies, now joined by the Badgers head coach, Marissa Mosley. Coach, thanks for joining me. What's the message to the team following the last game against Oregon?
The message is that, you know, there was plenty of things that we did really well as far as following our game plan. And there's plenty of things that we need to be able to clean up. And I think that we had a really great practice today, understanding each of our opponents is going to be different. And we got to find ways to take care of the ball and get more possessions. You know, we turned the ball over 22 times. So it's 22 times that we didn't get shots at the basket. So we just talked to them about making sure that we're taking care of the ball and that we're also kind of getting more movement. And, you know, obviously we're not going to go very far with Sarah only scoring 3 points in 30 minutes.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the postgame with Sarah Williams on the two shot attempts. Is there a sweet spot you want to see her as far as number of attempts offensively?
I don't know if it's necessarily a sweet spot, but I just know that, you know, her being able and teams know that she's kind of our go-to player, but it can't just be only her. And so, you know, we tinkered a little bit with our offense. It worked the last couple of days or day and a half, just trying to figure out how I can still get her in spots that she can be successful, but also that the rest of the team can be successful as well.
Let's one more question on the rest of the team. You know, Ronnie Porter, I was curious to kind of ask you about how you see her development in her third season. You know, one of the things I think that really stands out is she's distributing the basketball really well. I think she's third in the conference now in assists per game. How do you see the development of Porter?
Yeah, I think that she's, you know, obviously was a natural scorer coming in and understanding, you know, how to kind of allow herself to not only be able to score, but get other people involved. And I really believe that she's embraced that, and I'm, you know, confident that that's going to continue to grow, and that will help our team be really successful.
Well, best of luck tonight against Washington. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, that's head coach Marissa Mosley. Keep it right here. We'll get a scout of the Huskies next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Support us at 4-H.org.
As the temperatures drop and the mornings get foggy, the team at 8th Street Auto wants to remind you that they're here for all of your weatherization needs. This is the time of year when checking your light bulbs, tires, brakes, and windshield wipers is very important. Make an appointment today with an educated team that will keep you safe on the roads this fall and winter season. Find them at 4390 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 8th Street Auto and Service Center, here for all your weatherization needs.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Wisconsin gets set to take on the Washington Huskies, now joined by Badgers assistant coach Frogero. Let's talk about Washington. Their top two scorers, the same amount of points per game, just about 15 per game. And we'll start with Elle Ladine, who has a 40-point game already on her resume earlier this season. A couple games ago against Northwestern. What can you tell me about her?
Yeah, she's been playing really well. You know, like you mentioned, they have two dynamic guards, and she's definitely one of them. You know, a really good shooter. She can score from all three levels. Really good shooter from three, a good mid-range, and can get to the rim when necessary. So, you know, having that backcourt duo is that's going to be a really good matchup for us.
Yeah, the other one, Savia Sellers, is an up-and-coming sophomore for Washington. She shoots 45% from the three-point arc. What do you see on her?
Yeah, really good young guard. Like you said, shoots it well from three. But she really does a really good job of getting her teammates easy looks as well. So she's a great facilitator. Mm-hmm. She controls tempo of the game. She does some things that veteran guards do at a very young age. She's a great match to Ladine in the backcourt.
Let's talk a little bit about their three-point shooting. They're a good three-point shooting team as well. They're second in the Big Ten. What do you see as far as what they can do offensively?
Yeah, that's going to be key, and they get them in a lot of ways. You know, Sellers obviously generates a lot with her ability to touch the paint and, you know, get the defense to collapse and open up shooters. But they get them in transition. You know, their offense, they do a lot of ball screen offenses, so it forces your defense to rotate, you know, more than you would like to at times, so leaving shooters open occasionally. And she does a good job of shooting behind screens, so – Sellers is kind of key, but there are kids around her that can really catch and shoot.
Well, best of luck tonight, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
All right, that's assistant coach Frogero. We'll be back with the Badger Notebook next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI. to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back. John Audius with you as Wisconsin gets set to take on the Washington Huskies in Big Ten women's basketball. Badgers come in with a 1-3 Big Ten record. They're 10-5 overall. Washington is 2-1 in conference play and 11-4 so far this season. It's the first time these two teams have met since December 13th of 2013. Overall, Washington leads the series with a 4-1 record. Badgers have lost the last three in a row. And like I said, last time they met, 2013. Now in that game, Wisconsin's Mikayla Johnson finished the night with a game-high 25 points. Taylor Wirtz had 11. Morgan Page reached 1,000 career points, but it was not enough in an 80-67 Huskies win. Meanwhile, the Badgers looking to get Sarah Williams back on track. Williams scored just 2 points in the Badgers' loss last time out. She took three shots from the floor as Wisconsin fell at Oregon. We'll see if she can get back on track. Williams is sixth in the Big Ten at about 18 points per game. And keep an eye on Ronnie Porter. She's number three in the Big Ten in assists per game. The Badgers' point guard putting up 5 assists per game. She had 6 in the Badgers' loss to the Ducks. Keep it right here. Quick spin around the Big Ten. I'll tell you about number one UCLA in action tonight taking on Purdue. That's next. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Basketball fans, Matt's Matt for Brewpub Lots of Matzo Pizza here. As much as our Badgers are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub Pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub Pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over 0.5 pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub Pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger Basketball and Brewpub Pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
This season, Abbott and the Big Ten teamed up to host the first ever conference-wide blood donation competition to help fight the greatest blood shortage in a generation. The We Give Blood Drive helps save as many as 60,000 lives thanks to alumni, students, and Badger fans like you. But the need for blood donations doesn't stop here. Go to BigTen.org/Abbott to sign up to give blood and save lives. Abbott, proud partner of the Big Ten Conference and Wisconsin Athletics.
And welcome back. John Audius with you as the pregame show continues. Time for a quick spin around the Big Ten. Just two Big Ten games tonight. Of course, in Seattle, it's Wisconsin at Washington. Earlier tonight, number one UCLA improved to 16-0, and they lead the Big Ten Conference with a perfect 5-0 record after an 83-49 win at Purdue. Boilermakers fall to 0-4 this season. Checking the Big Ten standings, UCLA now 5-0, followed by number 8 Maryland at 4-0. Number 4 USC is also 4-0. Another undefeated team, ninth-ranked Ohio State, is 3-0 in the conference standings. Tonight, it's 1-3 Wisconsin versus 2-1 Washington. Huskies are receiving votes in the top 25, and we'll have the starting lineups and the opening tip-off next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.